We heard from...
It's time for talkbacks.
Yeah, yeah. It is time for talkbacks. Sorry. Yeah. And let's see. Oh, yes. Got this email from Pam, who lives on North Star Lake in Marcel, and she said, I've been enjoying all the crazy hummingbird activity today in my garden, a dozen or so at a time, zooming to and fro, and after a few weeks when they were fairly quiet. I'm guessing these are juveniles joining the adults in flight. I'm wondering if these juveniles have to make their own nests now, or will they stay with their parents? May seem a silly question, but that's just how my mind works. Thank you. Love your phenology show. Pam. Well, Pam... Actually, once the babies are fledged and leave the nest, nobody goes back to the nest. Not mom, not dad, not baby. They just find a place to roost at night, a place that they're familiar with and feel safe, and that's where they'll stay overnight, and then they'll be back at your feeders during the day. And oddly enough, the male plays no part in raising the babies. He breeds with the female, and that's the end of his obligation. After that, at my house, he usually just guards the feeders and is a dick, if you'll pardon me for saying so. But that's kind of his role. He's right. Just this little banty rooster of a male, keeping everybody off of his feeder except for his chosen selected one. So, yeah. But you're right. There was that 2 or 3 week period there where mom was busy gathering protein sources for her babies to help them grow. But now that they're fledged, they're going to be hitting the feeders hard. And if your feeders are like mine, they're going to be going empty a lot faster in the next couple of weeks than they have been.
All right, coming up, we're going to get a talkback story from our friend Ed Dallas. Stay tuned. This is the talkback segment of the Phenology Show on KAXE KBXE.
Our students are living in a historic moment. We trust their training and observation will help them focus on remaining connected and caring for the natural world because they know they are an integral part of it. This concludes the Phenology Report and our 2020 school year. Be safe, go outside and explore, and always be observant.
We want to thank the teachers of 2020 who connected their students to nature and to the listeners of KEXE, KBXE. Phenology can connect us across divides of politics or geography or race. And best of all, those young voices give us a break and give us a hope for the world. Membership makes Phenology and student reports possible. Go to kexe.org.
Go out and explore and be observant.
Speaking of being observant, we know some of those folks out there, right?
We do know some observant folks. And one of the more observant folks, and a guy I talk to practically every week off air, is our good friend Ed Dallas. Ed, good morning.
Yeah, good morning to you.
we had a short discussion this morning, and I said, let's save this for the talk back. And you graciously agreed to join us this morning. And tell me the story. What happened?
Well, you do a lot of stuff with kids in school and all of that, which I think is great. You know, kids need to get out there and everything else. But there is also another thing they have to learn about the natural world. And it's picking blueberries. Sounds like a simple thing. But did you know you can reach down there to pick up a blueberry off its little stem and be close to a yellow jacket's nest that's underground? Now, let's put this now where I don't want to scare anybody, but they will swarm out of that nest looking for the culprit that's trying to claw their way into their sanctuary, so to speak. And they'll be buzzing around, and there's going to be the courage for you to run. You don't want to do that. You want to stand absolutely stone still. Because they'll be fluttering around like, where is that? The carib? Where is that? Where is that? If you run, let me tell you, you'll run a lot faster than you thought you ever could run. And I only took one one stinger right on the wrist where I was picking that blueberry, and I thought, I'll never stand up. Oh, my gosh. So, you should just warn people when they're out picking to be careful and not to run.
So you're saying that when you encounter yellow jackets, your chosen defense is to hold still.
That's correct.
And
move a muscle.
And when you told me this story, I started laughing because when I was a kid, I grew up in a neighborhood with lots of other kids, probably a dozen kids that were all about the same age or within 3 or 4 years of each other. And we'd be out playing and we'd discover a yellow jacket's nest. And it was like, scrap all your plans. We've got a yellow jacket nest to torment. And you know, you'd get rocks and try to plug the hole.
That's
you'd
correct.
Take
That's
cattails correct. And soak them in gasoline and throw them at the thing.
Were
and
there
I don't recommend that.
Involved
slingshots were absolutely part of your outfit. You didn't go out of the house without your slingshot. Anyway, there were several ways that we chose to react to the swarming of the yellow jackets, and some. Did what Patrick McManus referred to as blind linear panic, which is you flail your arms rapidly in random directions and run without looking where you're going until you hit something, and then you get up and start running in a different direction, also flailing your arms and just anything to get away. That was one strategy. There was the strategy that you employed and I have employed, which is to just freeze, hold still, be a tree stump, be something not animate. They'll just leave you alone. I once had a yellow jacket walk across the inside of the lens of my glasses. So I couldn't see him very well, but I could see him because he was, a half inch from my eyeball. And I just stood very still until she worked her way out and found her way off the glass and flew away. But then there were those who a mixture, of standing still and flailing, and they just walked casually away like, you know what? It's those other guys. You don't want me. It's those other guys.
I mean, do kids have this kind of fun anymore?
I hope
They got computers and all of that kind of stuff,
You can play those video games, but I'll tell you what, there's nothing like playing games with yellow jackets. That's for keeps.
Well, now you can throw the ball face tornado in there.
Well, yeah, I'm just using yellow jackets.
That's for any kids that's got more experience.
Any
now,
stinging insect. Yeah, you find one of those paper nests, and that's where the slingshots came in.
Yeah.
Watch me tear him a new opening.
But there is a better thing in this. Now, we're making fun of being stung and everything else like that. But my dad, when he was alive, he was a biology teacher, and he had a glass beehive in his classroom. And I remember when he bought the swarm of bees, and they came out, and they tell you how to get them to go into the nest you're going to have for them. And that is to move, the little box. The queen comes in with a couple of workers that feed her and everything else. And you slowly put your hand down in amongst just literally hundreds and maybe thousands of honeybees to bring that little box out just real slow. And they're following the queen, and you lift her up out of their box. They come in to put it in the nest, and you do everything slow as long as that queen bee does not give the wrong signal. So you don't just pick that box up and slam her in there. She might go buzz the wrong way and you're toast.
Yeah.
But to do that, and they just follow that queen right in, and then then we get into the orchid guy coming and thought he found a bunch of termites. And
yeah.
That's another story.
That'll be another story. Ed, thanks
that'll
for joining
story,
us.
But just, to remind kids, when you're picking blueberries, and be still.
Yeah,
walk
be still.
Slowly.
You and I are of that opinion that being still, but I enjoy watching a good blind linear panic.
Well, there is fun in that.
Well, there
is. Don't get me wrong.
As long as you're not
runner.
But
I was a lot bigger in sixth grade than most kids, and so I was a little bit slower.
I don't think Usain Bolt could outrun Yellow Jackets, to be honest with you. I think that running is, you know, maybe you'll just get outside of their territory, but you're not going to outrun them if they're after you. They'll catch up to you. They'll draft you is what they do. They fly in your draft. Hey, Ed, thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again soon.
You have a good day now.
All right, bye.
And, of course, carry your EpiPen with you if you are allergic.
If that's your nature, yes. My son-in-law carries an EpiPen with him, and fortunately, I'm not, when I get stung, it's a kind of a burning sensation, and then shortly after that, it begins to itch, and then it itches like a deer fly bite for like 2 or 3 days. I just got stung between my thumb and my index finger the other day, and it took a long time for that to stop itching.
I just read a story online of someone getting stung by a hornet, I think, and not knowing that they were allergic, and their throat starts to close up, and got to the emergency room, got sent to Duluth, you know, but made it through and now knows that.
So. Yeah.
So if weird things start happening, take it seriously.
What?
Out there.
Take it seriously no matter what. Yeah. I mean, it's not to be fooled with, but hold still. That's the motion that it's like the scene from the Jurassic Park where the dinosaur is looking in the window of the Jeep and he's telling them to just hold still. Same thing with hornets, except the outcome's not as dire.